I'm super excited today because I get to preach on love. And Joe has done such a phenomenal job in the last 3 weeks of going through forgiveness and how that really correlates with our ability to love and receive love is forgiveness. So if you didn't get to see those sermons, I would definitely encourage you to look at the podcast and go back and look at those. But it was gold that Joe's been giving us. So my title of my message today is Love Never Fails. And the point of my message today is kind of like, you know, now that we've forgiven and ourselves and others, and, you know, what is the origin of love? And what does that look like? And how do I apply it to my life? I really just kind of want to do a broad look at love. So then the next few weeks as we go through this, we'll get real intricate with it and really take it apart. So, Have you ever really thought about the magnitude of love? I mean, you would think such a powerful force would be utilized all the time by God's people. I think many of us get a taste, and we get a taste, you know, we're Christians, we love Jesus, we get a taste, but then we go back to the logic that was created by all the experiences that we've had in life, the good and the bad. I call it defense mechanisms. It's like a knee-jerk reaction. You know, we're living in the spirit. We're trying to do our best to be like Jesus, to talk like Jesus. And when things get tough or they get confusing, we end up, you know, that knee-jerk is to just go back to what protected us before, what got us through life. But I believe that God wants to ignite the love that is already in us, already exists in us today, and touch us through His Spirit. Because there is a mystery that is unveiled. Okay, hear me. When I talk about a mystery, I'm talking about the riches of Christ. The Bible talks about riches in Christ. And there's a couple of places where you can definitely find these, and you can only find them there. One is extreme pain, walking through a major traumatic thing with God. There's riches in there. Nobody ever goes, ooh, I want those. But they're there. There's also riches in those who begin, who want to stop, God's kids who say, you know what, Jesus, I love you, I believe you at your word, and I want to stop reacting in the flesh, and I want to start responding in the Spirit. Okay, there's riches there for you, hidden only for those who are going to seek it. So, amen, brother. Shout me down, brother. I'm going to say that again. When we stop reacting in the flesh and begin responding in the Spirit, you will find riches in Christ that have been hidden for you until you went and sought it out. So 1 John 4:8 says this, he who does not love does not know God. For God is love. Okay, that we've established something here. God is love. So let's do a little bit of background check. And I love to get real, you know, outer spacey with this stuff, just like way, way out. Woo! Like mind-blowing stuff, right? So let's just take everything in this world, okay? Everything that you can see, touch, feel, smell on this planet can be traced back to God. Okay, so God created everything here. That's pretty magnificent. Well, let's take it a step back. God created the very planet that holds everything that He created. Okay, well, that's pretty crazy. Let's take a step back. God created all the planets that are around in our solar system. Okay, let's take a step back from that. God created all the galaxy and all the galaxies on and on. However big that is, infinitum, God created it. Therefore, Before anything that was made was made. Anything. There was love. There was love before anything was. That's powerful. Whatever was first and is still around now, ooh, that's powerful. That's love. And that's what we're going to learn about today. So what we have to understand is that the very nature of God, God's nature, you can define Him by love. He is love. That means He doesn't try to love you and me. He doesn't muster up the kindness of His heart to love on me and you. He can't help but love you and I. He can't help but love His creation. He can't help but just continuously flow. It's just, think of a flow. It's a constant flow of, I'm doing for you. I want better for you. I'm going to build you up. I believe in you. I love you. I want the best for you. It's a constant, constant flow that He cannot stop because it's who He is. It's just who He is. It's beautiful when you think about it. So this is His constant. This is His identity. And if we're gonna talk about love, well, we should probably bounce it off the one who is, right? We should probably include, if we're gonna talk about love, let's include the very one who could probably speak the best about it. And that's God. Colossians 2:9 says this. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now, some of you already understand this. I get this. But I just want to cover this in case there's new believers here that haven't really connected the dots about this God thing and how it really works. And so it's called the Godhead, or the family of God is the Trinity. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Okay? Three equal persons of God in one Godhead. You see, God's never been alone. Even when I was talking about before anything that was made, well, wasn't God lonely? He's love. Who was He loving on? He was loving on the Son. He was loving on the Spirit. And they were loving Him back. That's the flow. That's the flow. He's loving on the Son. I want to do for you. I love you. Oh, Daddy, I love you too. Here, let me just do for you. Let me just glorify for you. Spirit, oh, Holy Spirit, I just came to glorify the Son. So He glorify you. And this is the beautiful little just triune circular motion of flow of love that has been going on before anything that was made was made. So God's never been alone. And then Jesus says this in John 5:16-23. The Pharisees are tripping on Him right now. For this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill Him. Because He had done these things on the Sabbath. He had healed on the Sabbath. He'd done God's work on the Sabbath. Therefore, the Jews sought all the more to kill Him. Because he not only broke the Sabbath, but He also said that God was His Father, making Himself equal with God. Then Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself but what He sees the Father do. For whatever He does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows Him all things that He Himself does. And He will show Him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom He will. For the Father judges no one." Remember this. "For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to Jesus, the Son. That all should honor the Son, just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. So, now I can explain the flow a little bit more. You know, God sent his Son for us. He sent part of himself to come down to earth to live a sinless life and be sacrificed for us. But that flow never changed. That flow never changed. So when God says, Son, I love you. I'm going to create the human race. I love you so much, Jesus, that I'm going to create a people that will worship you. I'm going to create man so he will glorify you, Jesus. And Jesus is like, oh, Daddy, that's so great that you love me so much that you would do that for me. You know what? I love you too. I love you so much, Father, that even though they'll pray in my name, I'll have them pray to you, not to me. In fact, I'll tell them to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And on and on. Father, I'll just throw it right on back to you. You're making these people to glorify me. Oh, I'm just going to throw the glory right on back to you, Father. Then you can throw it right on back down to me. And through the Holy Spirit, will flow it through my people. Will flow back to me, to you. And that, see, now we have stepped into the love flow. And that's what I want to get my point across today. There is a spot in Christ where you can be in the middle of a love fest all day, every day. Why wouldn't we want that? I mean, it sounds pretty awesome to me. That's what I want. And you know what? We can have that. And I'm speaking it over this church that we are that. We are already that. But I know that God wants to stir something in us because you know what? Individually, if you and I start living intentionally, because that's what really this is all about, is intentional living in Jesus Christ. When we wake up and our feet hit the floor, we say, okay, God, today I'm living intentionally. I heard Pastor Chris preach on love on Sunday, and you know what? I'm going to do that. I'm going to decide today that I'm going to chase after you, God. I want to act like you, which means I'm going to be kind. It means when my feet hit the floor, God, don't let me miss one need today. Give me eyes to see the need to be filled, God. Allow me to be used by you to bless somebody today. I know I gotta go to work. I know I gotta raise kids. I know, you know, I got a beautiful wife that I need to pay attention to, keep happy. But you know what, God? I can do all that stuff. Because you said, seek first the kingdom of God and everything will be added unto you. So I know that Jesus, oh, if I focus my mind on pressing into you and receiving your love and learning about getting into your word, learning who I am in you, Jesus, learning what powers that I have over the enemy and over my flesh, then I begin to think like you. I begin to talk like you and I even begin to act like you, which will make me a better husband, which will make me a better father. It'll make me a better boss, businessman, all that other stuff. That needs to be paid attention to, by the way. Just serving Jesus ain't going to make you a good husband or a good wife. Preach it, Jonesy. You will have to learn how to do that. But you know what? The love of God, seeking Christ, will give you the love that I'm talking about. The love that I'm talking about is agape love. There is feelings attached, but it's residual from the action. Love is action. Love is saying, I'm in it all the way, regardless of how you behave or whether you do for me or you don't. I'm all in. I love you till the end. In fact, in this moment, I'm putting your needs first. In this moment, I care about your well-being. Because I just am so engulfed in the love of God. Because that's what happens, guys. Jonesy can't do it on his own. Neither can you. What I'm talking about today, you'll have to abide in Jesus. What I'm talking about today, you will need to be near Him. You will need to spend time with Him. And if you're having trouble worshiping our God, I'm not condemning you. I get it. I've been there. You're still worried about looking funny, talking funny, acting funny. Those Christians. I get it. But until you grab a hold of the God that you serve, these riches I'm talking about are hidden for you when you come. But let me tell you something. When you figure it out, you ain't gonna care who or what. You know what I mean? I don't care who's looking. You're so good, Jesus. You've moved so many ways in my life. You changed me so much for the better. I don't care who sees. I'll dance like a fool if it blesses you. Get to know Him. Get to know Him. Ephesians 1, 3 through 6, and this is solidifies that God truly, truly created us to bless Him, to praise Him. Blessed be God, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Hallelujah. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the beloved. We have been created to love and praise and give God glory. We were created. You know what our wheelhouse is? Loving God and loving each other. Nobody ever taught that to us. I mean, unless I guess you grew up in church, maybe like the two of you that were blessed enough that, man, I got saved when I was two. You know what I mean? Praise God. That's an amazing testimony, by the way. Whoever's got that, yes. But it was always, you know, what's in it for me? Hey, what's your angle? Hey, you know? God's got a better way for us. God's got a better way. And even though Satan caused man to sin in the garden, his love endures to the end. You know, like I remember, you know, I used to think there was a season in my walk with Jesus where I thought, you know, God made man, Adam and Eve, and then they, you know, they sinned in the garden and God was like, oh man, I got to send Jesus now. I mean, I got an answer, but I didn't know that was going to happen. But that's not true. Because see, if God is outside of time and He knows the end from the beginning, which He does, He knows everything and all things, then He knew exactly what was going to happen. He knew that. That was part of the plan. He uses that. He uses that because what He's going to do, what He's doing with us through that, through the sin in the garden that we carry today, He sanctifies us through that. He allows us to, because that's why we need Jesus. That's why I say, abide in Jesus. Abide in the Word. Abide. Don't be afraid to worship Him. He is worthy. And when you do that, He pours out His Spirit. He goes, oh yeah, Jones is paying attention. Woo! Woo! He's living in intentionally today. He's loving on people. I mean, he cussed a couple times, but you know, he always does that. I forgive him. And you know, I threw that in there because I don't want you to think you're going to do it perfect. You won't. But if we live intentionally, and that's really God's request from His kids. We have to say, you know what, God? It's all about You today. I'm making the decision not to make it about me, not to focus on what's going on out there. I'm going to focus on You. That's the decision. And when I say, okay, God, So, you know, I just want to look like you today. So when the opportunity comes up, I'm going to intentionally try to be kind. I'm going to intentionally try to fill a need. You see, the stuff that I'm giving you right now, you don't even have to know the word. So those of you that don't want to read the Bible, I know you're out there. You don't even have to read the word to do this. But I'll tell you this. Once you start, if you would step out in love, if you would step out and just start acting like Jesus, you know what, God, I'm going to go above and beyond today. I'm just going to love on people. I'm going to try to encourage people. I'm going to look for a need and try to bless somebody today. He's like, oh, yes, you're acting like me. Let me dump into you. Let me dump into you right now. I'm going to dump into your life. See, you can't see what's happening. You can feel it. Sometimes you don't, but God's moving and shifting things in your life to bless you. And that's going to cause you to go, you know what? I should probably find out what it says in the Bible. Because you know what? This feels pretty good. This nice thing is working for me. Because when you do, okay? None of us would be able to be in a constant state of love, okay, unless we're abiding in Christ. And none of us will be able to do it perfectly because the only perfect one was Jesus. But you know what? We can try. Amen? We can live our lives on purpose for purpose and go, you know what? I'm not going to do it perfectly, Jesus, but I'm going to do the best I can today. I'm going to try to keep you first and foremost on my mind. And that starts in our homes, by the way. With the spouse, with the kids. You know when things really started changing for Tracy and I? My wife? Is when both of us began to pray, God, show me how to love her the way she needs and wants to be loved. Not the way I want to love her or the way I think I should love her. You see, things really changed when I asked God to show me how he wants me to love her. What blesses her? What kind of love really empowers my wife to be a better woman? Because it's different for everybody. You know? That's when the marriage started to change. It's funny because it's like, man, was I the problem the whole time? Really? But that's what it seems like. But that's cool because that means you're keeping everything in the circle. You're not like, hey, God, look at him. Look at her. I mean, we'd be on fire for each other. But got to abide in Jesus. Begin to hang out with him and understand him. Because you know what? That's love, right? Doesn't that make more sense? Show me how to love them the way they need to be loved. The way they want to be loved. Wow, that's a gift. That's a beautiful thing. God knows exactly how to love people perfectly. How are we doing on time? All right, cool. This is agape love that I'm talking about. Love will always cost you. Remember that. Love costs. Agape love is a decision not based on emotion. Like I said, it's a decision that you're making to be all in, regardless of circumstances or outcomes. 1 John 4, 7 through 11 says this, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation or the satisfaction for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So that is the revelation, right? And I pray that this really speaks to you. It's like, wow, God, you loved me so much that even when I was shooting dope, listening to satanic music, doing bad things with bad people, and doing nothing but destruction of myself and others, you loved me. You died for me. Wow. It's this revelation. So you're telling me then, because all you want back from me basically is to love other people. Okay, Jesus. All right. It seems simple, doesn't it? It really is simple. It's not rocket science. It's loving others. Yet, we struggle with it, don't we? We must abide in God. And this is what I love about a message like this, is we are in all walks of, you know, we're all in different places in God, right? Some know the word back and forth, some don't. But this message will preach. Because love is very, very important. The Bible even says, without love, all your religious stuff is like clanging pans and blah, 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 blah. But I praise God that, I mean, it's as simple as us going, you know what? I'm going to try. I'm going to make it important. God, I heard Pastor Chris, and I thank you, Jesus. I thank you for saving my life. I thank you for giving me life. I was tagged and bagged for death and addiction and misery and dysfunction. And you came into my life and you changed me. Yeah, okay. I will live intentionally, God. I will get up tomorrow and I will, you know what? It's going to be about being your kid. Yes, I'll do hardwood floors. That's how I pay the bills. Yes, I will raise my kids. Yes, I will be a boss. I will be a friend. I will be all those hats that we wear. But I will focus on the fact that I am your kid. And God, let me feel a need. Pray that in the morning. Let me see the needs of your people. Let me see beyond flesh and bone, God, but let me see in the Spirit. Let me walk around with the special gifts that you've hidden for me when I step out in faith. And I'm looking for it. God, the gifts that you've given your kids that only you give them, only the ones that are brave enough to step out. That can be you this week. And he will dump his love, his anointing, his grace, his mercy, his life-changing touch to yours. And it will blow doors. And you know what? You know what I love about love? It'll heal your past. Thank you, God. I mean, you can actually get to a place where you can look back on your life and go, yeah, that was horrible. That was terrible. Oh, yeah. Woo! So glad I... But I don't... It doesn't... There's no more shame. There's no more fear. There's no more condemnation every time I think about it. Ah! No more. Why? Because I've been filled with love. I've been forgiven. I understand. I don't take grace as a license to sin by any means, but there's being sun-focused and sin-focused. Does that make sense? Trying not to sin and just being focused on Jesus is a whole nother thing. Being focused on Jesus will cause you to sin less. It won't make you sin free, but you will sin less. But see, what does that look like, Pastor Chris? Well, that means maybe you don't Netflix binge watch And you get into the Word. You know, maybe you should. And look, let's keep it real. Watch one episode or two, but then get into the Word. Get into worship. Make that an important part of your day. And it really should be the first and foremost thing. But hey, I'm willing to grow with you. So is God, baby. Come on, you know, like, let's just keep it real. But for sure, I mean, if you really want to impact your own life, forsake everything in the world and just start diving into God. To turn off the TV, throw the phone away for a while and just put on some worship and walk around, play with the dogs in the backyard and just pray. I love you, Jesus. I bless you. Thank you. And just worship God. You're so amazing, Father. You're worthy to be. Holy is the Lamb of God. Holy God. I mean, you will change. You will change. God's changing me. I've done that. I even listened to worship in the gym, you guys. And I mean, it works. I used to, you know, because I punk rock, man, you know, slamming hard stuff. Yeah. But so I'm rabbit trailing. The more you sow in to your relationship with God, the more you're going to see the change. That's just it. That's the bottom line. That's, you can't buy it on a credit card. You can't sneak around the backside. You can't get the cliff notes to it and experience the same thing. See, you can do whatever you want. God loves you and God's going to bless you. But what I want to do is take you higher or deeper or however you want to look at it, because it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you the things that you think are fun if you want this. Now, God doesn't hate our hobbies. God doesn't, you know, want us to not do anything else except for, you know, just read the Word. And I mean, God is a good dad. You can do all the fun things you've got. I'm talking about making Him a priority. And the more that you make Him a priority, I believe the more you're going to see that, you know what? The things of this world don't make me happy like they used to. The same stuff that used to seem valuable to me fails in comparison of the presence of God. All those killer punk rock songs I love, that I still love, the manifested presence of God that happens when you consecrate yourself to the Lord is so much better, even than the Misfits. Best punk band ever. Anyway, it's worth it. It's just like, yeah, I mean, I could do that. I could totally do that. I have the freedom. I have the freedom to do that. But why? Why when I can have more Jesus? Why when I can step into His presence again, like now? Why would I want anything else? And I pray that you're connecting dots today with me. You know, I know that this seems pretty extreme, but love is extreme. I mean, love goes all the way. Look, if dying on the cross, living a sinless life, dying on the cross for people that hate you, for people that don't care about you, for people that spit on you and use your name in vain like it's the word and to die for them. That's one side of the spectrum of love. Okay, so let's just say the other side is giving a homeless guy a sandwich. Hey, you know what? God bless you. Hang in there. You see, I'm not asking you to die on the cross for me or for anybody else. Jesus did that for us. I'm asking you to focus on the one who did that. So anywhere on the spectrum of that, you can be of service. You see, the potters are beautiful people that serve in this church. And we have amazing volunteers that serve here and pastors. And I just, everybody that serves in this church, I love you. God bless you. But the potters do this homeless ministry. And what they've done even today, and it's just, the Holy Spirit's funny because he set it up like this. I promise I didn't set this up. But today they have little snack bags. We go out every Saturday and we either do the motels where, you know, homeless people live, or we do actually homeless and we go find them in the parks and we feed them and love on them and pray for them. It's amazing. And all of you are invited to do that. But I get it. You got things to do. You got families to raise. Well, check this out. We got bags made for you today. When you leave today, make sure you go by the table out front and grab some bags to throw in your car. Because here's what I found out. I hate driving around with no bags in my car now. Now I'm like, ooh. Because now when I pull up to an on-ramp or a stoplight, I get to have an engagement now. I'm like, ooh, this is easy. Grabbing the back seat. Hey, brother. Hey, sister. I got socks, toothpaste, toothbrush, and some snacks. I love you. God bless you. Hang in there. Thanks, brother. Thank you. God bless you. I mean, in that moment, that's what I can do. You see, because love would pick the guy up, take him home, let him shower, give him my clothes, teach him how to, teach him a trade, teach him about Jesus, and take him all the way till he was able to do that for himself and others. That's love. That's love. But hey, right? I get it. We got stuff to do. We can't just be bringing every homeless person that we see into our house. We have kids. I get it. But we can be a part. Right? So that snack, that sandwich is just a part of what God's doing, because God will do that. God will clean him up. God loves that man. God loves that woman. And he wants to, you know, bless them and get their mind. Cause see, they're in bondage. They like it sometimes out there, or they're struggling, but either way, God loves them and wants to lift their head. And when we step out of ourselves, and it's so easy, you grab two bags, you say, I love you, God bless you. That, oh, God gets excited. Woo! Alright! They're acting like me right now. Let me just pour into their lives. Let me pour into them some more. Because they're intentionally trying to be like me. I like that, says God. He will bless you. Your life's going to start to change. You're going to start feeling like, man, I got peace today. I mean, you'll realize, wow, I think this is what the joy of the Lord is. You know? And adversity's going to come. Everything's not unicorns and rainbows, guys. This is life. We keep it real at His place, right? But there is a place in Jesus where you can get every day, all day, to where you can take that adversity. It doesn't make it, because your feelings are going to be all which way, whichever. But you spent time with the Lord. And you can always tell somebody that's been spending time with the Lord, because they're saturated in love. They're saturated in the Spirit. There ain't no fear in them, even when they explain their situation. Yeah, you know, this is what's going on. It kind of sucks, but God is good. That is somebody who has grabbed a hold of the reality of Jesus Christ. The power of God and the power of love in their life. They've received that. That's what's healed them. The love of God has healed those fears. Healed those anxieties. He has healed in so many ways that person can just enjoy the presence of God. Oh, this is just the trial that He told me I'd be going through. What did He say? He said, fear not. There's going to be trouble, but fear not. I've overcome the world. Wow. All right, Jesus. So then my adversity and all the things that I struggle with, it's for your glory. If I allow it, if I press into you and I dedicate my life to learning where do I fall more, you know, what keeps making me slip in this area and I confess it to you, God, and I confess it to my brothers, you will help me. You will faithfully help me change. And that's where it happens. That's where it happens. We need to allow God's love in every area of our life. And like I said, the beautiful thing about this message is we're all in different places. But man, this message will preach. This God has just preached to me through this. And I'm not letting go. Even if I'm the only one here that gets this, in Jesus' name, I'm not. Everybody gets this, God. But I will live intentionally from now on. This is it, guys. You weren't put on this earth to grind it out 9 to 5, even though we have to. We have to be responsible stewards. But don't miss what you're really here for. And that's to love other people. It's so much better to be the blessing than to receive one. And it's even a blessing being the blessing. So there's a blessing in the blessing. You see what I mean? You can't out-bless God. You can't in the flow when it's selfless. You can't stop it. Remember, love is a decision to respectfully, responsibly, and passionately seek another's well-being. That's the definition of love. To respectfully, responsibly, and passionately seek another's well-being. Without any strings attached. Without circumstances being just right. Without even expecting a thank you. Love passionately seeks another's well-being. John 13, 34 through 35 says this, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. This must be very important to him. You know? And that's why I say, you can begin today. Even the ones that you don't really know the word yet. That's okay. You can love people. You can love. You can get out of yourself and be kind. You can give an encouraging word. Start there. Definitely get into the word though. That's the beauty. And the true transformation of the Christian happens in the Word of God. And we don't say, read your Bible, do this, pray this, do that. It's not. This ain't religion. Blech! This is about a relationship. And the more time that I spend with you, the better I get to know you. Amen? Well, God manifests His presence to us. But if we truly want to know His heart, it's been written down for us. Which getting to know His heart in turn reflects back on me and lets me know, oh, this is who I really am too. So then I start learning about, oh, okay. So I don't have to operate like this anymore. I don't have to react in the flesh. I can respond in the spirit because the word of God says it from God's own heart that there's gifts of the spirit that I possess. Just because I call Jesus my Lord. He has in that very second, He's filled me with His Holy Spirit to reside in me forever. So that being said, that same power, that same love that raised Him from the dead lives in us. It's about us tapping into that very power, that glorious flow that is the Trinity. We get to step into that. Step into that and live there as long and as much as we want. Here's a checklist. Here's a checklist to go by. And if you're taking notes, this is in the Amplified version. I love this and I'll probably use the Amplified for this scripture forever because it's so descriptive. Love endures with patience and serenity. Boom. Half of us blew it, right? Love is kind and thoughtful and is not jealous or envious. Love does not brag and it is not proud or arrogant. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not provoked, nor overly sensitive or easily angered. There go the rest of us. It does not take into account wrong endured. It does not rejoice in injustice, but rejoices with truth when right and truth prevail. Love bears all things regardless of what comes. Believes all things, looking for the best in each one. Hopes all things, remaining steadfast during difficult times. Endures all things without weakening. Love never fails. It never fades nor ends. This is agape. This is the love. That's the checklist we get to go by. Am I being that now? In this moment, am I being that? Now I want to just encourage you guys. Here's the thing. And this is going to happen to all of us. And then I'll tell on myself, okay? You are going to catch yourself reacting in the flesh. It's just going to happen. But we can stop. That's what, see, this is the intentionality. This is living intention. This says, I'm coming after you, Jesus. I'm coming after everything you died to give me, God. I'm going to work my butt off just to try to look more like you, work more, speak more like you, and act more like you, Jesus. And this is me trying. We can step into that. We have to decide. We have to decide to allow ourselves to be vulnerable and step into that and be kind. Take Him at His word. But we can only do it if we abide. And I want to stress that too. Like I said, you know, when I said, hey, you don't even have to know the word to do this. But if you want to do this on a consistent basis, oh, trust me, you're going to need Jesus. Because even, okay, I have consecrated my life even more recently. And I was driving down the 22, man, and I'm listening to worship, and I'm worshiping God, and I'm in the zone, and this dude just whips out, cuts me off to where I'm skidding, like almost hitting the guardrail, and I instantly flip him off. In worship, some are sicker than others. But I love the scripture that says, in Christ there is no sin. You see, and that is true. Because what happened was, I decided, in that moment, I decided to step out of the Spirit and flip that dude off. I decided to react in the flesh. I decided that it was more profitable for me to flip that dude off than it was to pray for him in that moment. But the good news is after that happened, I could feel. And this is what happens, guys. Your salvation is secure when you call Jesus Christ Lord. But if you want the manifested presence of God to be really manifested in your life, then you need to act like Him. And when you don't act like Him, He goes, oh, okay. You want to act like that? No, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I repent. God, you know what? I hope his family's okay. And he wasn't rushing home because his wife's sick or dying. God, I hope that you would just bless him and have him a safe drive home. And, you know, so I begin to pray for him. Bam, I'm back, baby. You see what I'm saying? So you may fail. You will fail. But don't accept that failure. I can't do this. Forget it. Don't accept that. Go, no. Ah, God, I repent of that. And I'm going to step back into your love. I'm going to be your love. It's intentional living. It's intentionally living, knowing that we have the ability to love no matter what. And that we take that on and we operate in that. So I wanted to say that just so nobody gets frustrated. And definitely knows that you can always turn the ship around, baby. Even if you're acting like a complete jerk, you can turn the ship around. A little phrase that I learned in the men's ministry is this happening to me or is this happening for me? Perception is everything. So whatever the situation is, I encourage you to say, this is happening for me for some reason. God, what do you want me to do through this? How do you want me to act through this? How can I be loving through this? How can I be kind through this? Do I need to walk in truth and draw some boundaries? Because you know what? Truth lies in love. That'll keep you from being a doormat or a codependent. Because enabling somebody to commit sin is not love. Telling them, I ain't joining this party anymore. I love you, but this is what God says about what you're doing. I love you, and I'm willing to get in it with you if you're willing to give it to God. If you're willing to repent, turn from your sin, and go, brother, sister, I'm willing to walk it out with you. But if you want to continue to do that, I can't be a part of that. Maybe, you know, and that'll keep you from toxic relationships too, because love goes all the way. But man, you know, if you're getting beaten up and stuff, I'm not telling you to stay and be love. Does that make sense? Amen. You can love from a distance as well. So Satan loves to entice us. And just like he did with Eve, he took her eyes off of what she had. God said, you have all this. And God's telling you, you have all this. All this love I've got, you've got it. It's yours. The devil will try to remind you what you don't have. And get your eyes on that. And get your eyes on the fact that, oh, the first is coming up, and I rent's due, and I ain't got nothing. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh, my marriage. Oh, it's been so jacked up. It's just never going to change. The devil will be like, yep, nope, ain't going to change. Might as well give up. You might as well quit going to church too, because those people are too happy. And you just don't get it, so you're not getting it, so you might as well quit. That's the devil. That's the lie. Do not believe that ever. You are beautifully, wonderfully made. You're so valuable. You're so loved by God. He is not limited to our character defects. He is not limited to our strengths. He is not limited to anything that we can bring to the table, which is really, hey, I'll go, Lord. Pick me. That's the best I can do for him. I'll never be able to pay Jesus back, but I can go, God, put me in. Put me in, coach. I want to bless somebody today. Put me in, coach. I want to heal somebody today in your name, Jesus. Because it's you that heal. I just want to be used by you, because it really gives me a charge when your glory falls and somebody gets set free. It really brings me a charge, and I get to feel that feeling when somebody gets saved. That feeling comes after. It's a residual. That's love, right? It's the residual. The feeling's the residual. The action's the important part. I'm going to close with this. The biggest downfall of the church as a whole is the lack of intentional living in love. Preach it, Jonesy. Can you imagine what this world would be like if the church actually lived intentionally every day in love? Now, we won't be able to do it perfect, but I'm saying this church, if no other church does this, we're going to do it. I know that about you people. To see that today's a marker. And I'm going to prophesy. I prophesied over first service. I'm prophesying over second service. This is the church where God's Spirit, there's so much love in this building that people get healed when they come to His place. There's so much love in you that the people that you work with and you run by at the grocery store, hello, sir, how are you? All those people you're bringing life to. Everywhere you go, every room that you enter, life. People can feel it. They're like, oh my gosh, I don't know what it is, but every time I'm around Brian D, I feel better. That's for you. And I know that we're going there. I believe with all my heart, this is a message from God. I believe with all my heart that He is loving on us. He's so happy with us, guys. He's happy with what we've been doing, but He's like, there's more. There's more I have for you. I have more for you. You're tasting the goodness of me. Guess what? I got way more than that. And so I just want us to get out there today because it's called outreach, not inreach. Amen. And I want us to get out this week and be the love that God, that Jesus has poured into us. I want to pour it out of us at our workplace, at the store, wherever we go. As people, what's up with you, man? Oh, well, you know, I'm just like anybody else. I'm just on fire with the love of God. I'm just filled with the Spirit of Jesus. I'm filled with love, brother, and I why are you doing this for me? Because I love you. Because God's done such a great work in me, I just want to love on you. No strings attached, no nothing. Have a great day. Boom! That's how you change the world. That's how we change the culture. And it's up to the church. It's up to the church to change the culture, to change this craziness that's going on, and I love it, because the crazier the world gets, baby, the brighter we're going to shine. The crazier the world gets, the more opportunity we have to actually walk this thing called salvation out with our Lord. The more we get the opportunity to actually be the hands and feet of Jesus, because let me tell you something, man, it is the best. It's the best when you show up, God uses you to fill a need, and you know it's Him. And you're just like, whoa. You walk away going, I know why I'm here now. It ain't to do hardwood floors. It ain't to like surf, even though I like surfing. Or ride my Harley, and I really like that too. But it's about loving people, isn't it, God? Like it's about really, really dedicating my heart to loving people, isn't it? Yes. So with that said, today we can start living intentionally in love. Today we can commit to more time spent with the Godhead. Today we can put the world and the things in it in its proper place, meaning we can hold on loosely to stuff, money, motorcycles, houses, cars. It's good. It's not bad. Good for you. I'm glad you're blessed. Hold on to it lightly. Today we can look at the people, places, and things through the lenses of love. Never to be offended again, hopefully, praise God. Because there's no offense in love. Love doesn't ever get offended. Love doesn't get angry. Today we can take our place in the love fest that is God Almighty. Today, while today is here. Because love never fails. Amen? So look, I don't want to end this message without giving everybody an opportunity, because everything that I talked about begins with accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And I don't know if anybody's ever asked you, maybe they haven't. Today I'm asking, because that's how important it is. No one gets to the Father except through the Son. All roads do not lead to heaven. There was one road, and it's through Jesus. It's through Jesus Christ. So I want you to have that opportunity, because the destination of eternity, your eternal destination is very important, because if you think life is going by quick, and it is, think about how long eternity is. And what do you got waiting for you when you get there? See, what I've given you today is gold. Start stacking chips in heaven. Start, because every time you bless somebody, oh Lord Jesus, every time you get out of yourself and you do something kind, you stack chips in heaven. There's crowns for you and I. Like I said before, we're rust and moth. They can't touch it. So without any other further hesitation, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you've never given your life to Jesus, or maybe you have before, but you've backslidden. You know you haven't been living with Him or for Him. I want to give you an opportunity to rededicate your heart. So if you've never given your life to Jesus or you want to rededicate your heart, I want to pray with you. Raise your hand. We'll pray. Just raise your hand for me and we'll pray. I see your hands. I see your hands. Amen. Amen. Repeat this prayer after me. Father God in heaven, thank you for your son Jesus. I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I ask you to come into my heart, come into my life, and change me. Today, I turn away from my old way of life and I turn to you. So fill me with your Holy Spirit. And I ask you to break every chain, every shackle that would hinder me from walking with you. In my declaration, I say, today I'm saved. Today I'm changed. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Welcome to the family. Let me pray over you guys. Father God, this week as we go out, Father, I pray for that love that you filled this church with today, God. I thank you that they will step out and pour it out on your people, God. Give them experiences, give them needs to fill, and I thank you for being faithful to fill the need. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys.